Now that you're all awake, good to see all you this morning. Hope you're feeling better than I am. Not been a good week, so. Telling Judy it's gotten bad enough. I've actually used that D word, doctor, so. Might have to go visit him, so. All right, if you'll remember in my last lesson, I spoke about pressure washing JJ and Elisa's house, a process that took a couple days. You know, my mind tends to wander when I'm working, and as I worked, I thought about how much our lives were like the siding on the house, gradually collecting filth over time, constantly needing cleansing, which was the topic of my last lesson. However, if you also remember, I was intrigued by where I found the dirt. It wasn't on every side equally, but the north and the east sides of the house had much more mildew and dirt than the west and the southern sides of the house. I wondered why these two sides were cleaner than the other two. Of course, I knew moss grew on the north side of a tree, but why is that? Turns out the mildew and moss need moisture and cooler temperatures to grow. But how did that translate to all the work that was being caused me to clean it off the side of the house? Now, the key to the whole thing is the sun. The sides that were in the sunlight had less mildew and less dirt, therefore could be much easier to clean. The sides in the shade grew mildew and stained, which took a whole lot more work to remove. See, the sunlight heats those walls. It drives the moisture out quicker, and the mildew can't grow. And the very rays of sunlight have UV rays that destroy the mildew cells and stop them from growing. And as I was musing over the physical aspects of what was causing me so much work, my mind naturally jumped to the other message of the sunlight, sort of like a parable. See, we're like the siding on the house. If we stay in the darkness, we become covered in sin and cannot be removed without the intervention of someone stronger than us. But if we stay in the light, we're free from sin and its influences. I've noticed that we hate darkness. We're afraid of it. Yet somehow we seem to stay in the dark. Open up your yellow pages. Anytime, just look. You will find a ton of listings for people that can remove almost anything. You'll find chimney sweeps to remove soot from your chimney. You'll find people that will want to remove the insects, the weeds, the garbage, your wallpaper. Remove old cars from your yard and even bad husbands. Yet humanity, with all its wisdom, has never found a way to remove the one thing that we want removed. Darkness. Look it up. You won't find anybody who'll tell you they'll get rid of the darkness. Because it can't be done. So many of us were afraid of the dark when we were young. I remember even more so if mom and dad weren't home and I was there by myself. Seemed like the dark just used to creep in and enclose me. And I just knew it was coming, you know. You try and get away from it, but you couldn't. Darkness is what we're afraid of, and darkness is the one thing we cannot remove. Oh, sure, we could turn the lights on, but the light's only a temporary fix. On those rare occasions the power went out, even when you knew where the flashlight was, you're afraid. If you had the flashlight in your hand, wherever you would hear a noise, you would shine the light. And yet the darkness would be over there, wouldn't it? You couldn't get rid of it. So you can imagine how surprised I was when Jesus said of man that man loved darkness instead of light. Why would anybody love darkness? There must be some mistake, because if humanity indeed loved darkness, then why did we bother with streetlights? We light up as many areas of darkness as we possibly can. We've created so many ways to diffuse the darkness, it made no sense to me that Jesus would say that we loved what we continually try to cover up. You'd think if we were continually trying to find new ways to cover up the darkness around us, that we would have jumped for joy when Jesus told us that light had come into the world. Light! That's the one thing I wanted when I was a child. I wanted light to get rid of the darkness. I wanted light to be on hand when I walked home at night, when I feared what would jump at me from around every corner, because you would run from streetlight to streetlight, because there was darkness in between them. I wanted light wherever I was, because where the light was, that's where I felt safe. So why would Jesus say that man loves darkness? Why would we want to not feel safe? Why is it that we love darkness in all sorts, where all sorts of bad things can happen to us? This love of darkness made no sense to me as a child, and it still doesn't make any sense to me. If we worked so hard to bring as much light into the midst of darkness, why do we continue on the path and not seek the light in our spiritual life? Why is it that so many cling to the darkness? Because making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. I'm reminded of a story of back when the days there was no electricity. A tight-fisted little farmer was chastising his hired hand for taking a lantern when he went to visit his girlfriend. He would say, "When I went a-courting, I never carried one of those things. I went in the dark." To which his hired hand replied, "Yeah, look what you got." Some people will only change their ways when they see the light, and yet others only change their ways when they feel the heat. Light is essential to our daily lives. Would we try to walk at night in a strange and unfamiliar path without some source of light? Not unless you don't care if you stub your toe and fall, right? Because if you don't know where you're going and you don't see what's in front of you, you will run into it. Having done that, it doesn't feel good, by the way. Have you ever tried to run at night in the dark? I have. Probably still have a few bumps from a couple of trees, but it's not a good thing. And yet, all too often as Christians, we do that exact same thing. We try to walk a path without a light. We should always remember what was said in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life." It's written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, "For God who said, 'Let light so shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." When Christ lives in us, we become the light of the world because of Christ in us. The Bible tells us that no light should be hidden. If you reckon back to Luke chapter 8, 16, it says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that all of those who enter may see the light. For nothing that is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is there anything secret that will not be made known and come to the light." Don't hide your light. Let it shine for the whole world to see it. We need to be the light of our world for Christ. And yet others still have to see it. While on maneuvers, a lookout on a battleship one dark, foggy night noticed a light in the distance. And after noting the coordinates, the captain recognized that the ship was on a collision course with the other vessel. So the captain instructed the crew, "Signal the ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change your course 20 degrees. The signal came back, "Advisable for you to change your course 20 degrees. The captain signaled back, "I'm a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. The response was, "Well, I'm only a seaman second class, but you better change your course 20 degrees. By this time, the captain was furious. He said, "I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. And the reply simply came back, "I'm in a lighthouse. You make the call." See, not recognizing the true light can have dire consequences. Allow the light of Christ to be steadfast in your life. Shine where He says to shine. Go where He says go. For the world of 2015 is a very dark place. In the world we live in, we're told to be politically correct and not to offend anyone. Millions of people live today that live in darkness of witchcraft, drugs, alcohol, violence, gambling, lying, stealing. Why? Because many people are living lives contrary to the Word of God and living in darkness. They feel there's nothing wrong with fornication or adultery or murder or hatred or prejudice or planting bombs or shooting people or failing to serve a living God. This world loves darkness because its deeds are evil. If you flip to John 3:19, you'll see that Jesus said, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." Right has become wrong, and wrong has become right. We've basically become what Isaiah warned of in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for the light and the light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The reason we see so much sin and evil is because people are in spiritual darkness. And for some reason, we want to live in and be a part of the world. We are to live in the world, but not be part of the world. When we let the world come into us, we no longer know the difference between right and wrong. Because today there is a need for light. You know, again in John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We're not only to be the light, but we should shine that light. It is something you choose to do, to allow God to do through you. We need to bring the knowledge of Christ to a world that doesn't know Him. Bring the light to a world that lives in darkness. But how do you do that? By sharing Jesus and lighting the world around you. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your acquaintances. Become a reflection of Jesus Christ. And when I say a reflection, it reminds me of a story that I heard. You know, I'm a techno geek, right? And so these little things I read and I see. In 1993, I read a story. It said that the Russian Space Center was bragging that they could light the other side of the world, for they had put a 25-foot aluminum disc on their Mir space station, and they reflected the light of the sun and bounced it off of their mirror, and they lit a 2-mile-wide section of the earth that was in darkness. And you'd think, wow, that's amazing. Why can't we do something with that? Well, there was only one problem. It was moving at 17,000 miles an hour, and you barely even noticed it happened, and it was gone. Yeah, they put light where there was none, but it had no lasting impact at all. Because the space station is traveling at 17,000 miles an hour, and that light is gone before it makes any impact at all. Have we become like that space station where we have no impact? We may shine a light, but it's so small and so fast that they don't even notice it. Really, how much greater would it be if we started being better mirrors of the sun? Because that's really what we're about, right? Reflecting the light of the sun. For he is the light. But to many of us, the world seems so big and there are so many people. How can we shed a light on all of them? Which reminds me of the story of the little boy who went to the zoo. And walking around the zoo, he saw the zebras and he saw the lions and he saw the giraffes and he saw the antelopes. And he came upon an elephant and he was pondering and asked the zookeeper, "How could anyone eat an elephant?" To which the zookeeper responded, "One bite at a time." How can we save a world that's so big? And the answer is, one bite at a time. One person at a time. You can't save the world. You can't influence the world. You can make a difference in someone's life. Because the world is composed of our families, our friends, in our acquaintances. We need to focus on our world one person at a time. If all of us committed ourselves to bringing just one part of our world to Christ, we would shed the light of Christ into their lives and see many who be one to Christ as a result. If we let that opportunity go, we will miss out on the blessing, and many others will spend eternity in hell. We need to examine our world. And we need to shed some light into it. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said in his famous sermon, "In the same way, let your light so shine before others that you may see, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." And he gave us a commission, which is noted in Mark chapter 16, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Will you be the one to begin to shed a light in your world? And I know people will say it's bad out there. And really we should respond with, "Don't tell me how bad it is. Tell me how good God is." Ask yourself, what can I do to make the world a better place to live? But really, the question shouldn't be that. It should be, why haven't I done it already? Jesus took 12 disciples, and it said they reached the entire world. We have that same commission today, and all we have to do is tell it to our friends, to our family, to our acquaintances. For the happiest that any Christian should ever be is when someone is saved. How can we be the light of the world? It's simple, the same as Jesus told them. Repent and totally give yourself to God. Because you can't share what you don't have. A preacher once said, there are basically two reasons people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Just two. One, they've never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. Think about it. Which one of those would you rather be involved in? What influence would you rather have? For our influence is no small matter. The question really comes down to, are we going to stay in the darkness and gather moss? Or are we going to be in the light and be cleansed? And if you're not in that light now, or if you'd like to come out of the darkness, please come as we stand and sing.